preach to you on the subject, the test of your love. And I'm going to give you a three-way Bible test of your love tonight. I guess that's the most misused, abused word in the English language, love. Boys hang around out parties and a girl goes driving by they never seen before and they say, "Hey, darling, I love you." That, you know what that means? That means they're full of the devil. When they say that, they're full of the devil. They don't love that person. What they're supposed to mean is, "I love me. Can you do anything for me?" That's what they mean. People don't have a hard time talking plain nowadays. Very few people say what they mean. I'm a fanatic on saying what you mean. I've listened to so much preaching and read the Bible much that I think somebody ought to say what they mean. You know? But you don't hear much of that going on out in the world. Out there in the world, it's all double talk. When you know what they're, you know, when a guy's saying, "Well, on this political issue, some of my friends stand against it. Some of my friends stand for it. I've decided to stand with my friend." You know, "Oh, shut up." That's the way a politician talks. You ain't going to get nowhere like that. Say what you mean. Are you for it or are you against it? And so I'm going to give you the Bible test of your love tonight and find out what kind of love you got. It's threefold, and I'm going to give you a little test tonight and see if you pass it. Real simple, real short. John chapter 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you," not a suggestion, a commandment, "that ye love one another as I've loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Now look at John chapter 14 tonight, and I'll show you the first point of the message. The first point of the message, test number one, is loving God. John 14:23. This is a verse that always convicts me. Every time I read it, I get under conviction, just about. I mean, you can't read this verse without getting under conviction. John 14:23. "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words." My soul, what about that? The Lord said, "If a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Now the first test of your love for God tonight is that whether or not you will keep his word. Now we Baptists, we preach you're saved by grace, and definitely that is correct. A person is saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a free gift. We're not talking about salvation now. We're talking about loving God. And a lot of times we say, "Oh, well, I'm saved. God saved me by grace, so it doesn't matter how I live." Far as loving God, it sure matters. It sure does. It does matter how a child of God lives. And brother, I'm not taking away from the grace of God tonight, but on the same hand, will not frustrate the grace of God and say, "You're saved by grace, just do anything that you want to do." We get accused of preaching that, you know, but I don't preach that and I don't believe that. I believe that a person that's saved by grace ought to work like a dog trying to please God because he loves the Lord. The Lord said, "If you love me, you will keep my words." Now, the Lord said some pretty strong things in the Bible, and he said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. Not that you're afraid you'll go to hell if you don't. You don't keep God's word because you're scared of what he might do to you. You keep them because you love him. You know, you find very few people today that just love God. The Bible said if any man love God, it's known of him. You can be around somebody a little while and you can tell if they love God. You know what? And I've been around some people that stumbled a lot but love God. I've been around some that had a hard time staying right, but I believe in their soul they love God. Do you love him tonight? Do you love him? Has he done something for you? You know what'll make you young people want to do right when mom and daddy's not around? Loving him. Just loving him. Just know that somebody said to know him is to love him. To love Him is to serve Him. You can't really know the Lord good without loving Him. And you can't love Him without serving Him. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us that we will keep His Word. I know that's hard for me to swallow and it's hard for you, but that's what Jesus said. Turn over in 1 John chapter 5. Now 1 John is way over there, next to the end, right before you get to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation and Jude. 1 John chapter number 5, verses 2 and 3. Well, let's just get verse number 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. Yeah, chapter 2 and verse 3. I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 5. I was looking at one verse, thinking of another, and preaching another. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Whoa, grievous. Great day in the morning. What a verse. That verse said, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments and don't fuss about it. That we keep His commandments and enjoy doing it. That we keep His commandments and our heart is in keeping His commandments. It's not like, oh no, I'm a Christian, can't do this, can't do that, gotta do this or God will kill me. If I don't do this, the preacher will get mad. I gotta do this. That's not doing you any good. The Bible said if you love God, you will keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You say, glory to God, I have the opportunity of doing what the Lord wants me to do. How about you've loved tonight? Is it what it ought to be? Look at 2 John. 2 John, right past 1 John. I guess you figured that out. 2 John, only one chapter, verse number 6. 2 John, verse number 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye had heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. There's a lot of doctrinal stuff that I'm not going to get into here tonight, but I am going to say that if you love God, the Bible teaches that you'll do your best to serve God. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 30, the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. You might see sitting there tonight and you say, preacher, I know you're right and I agree with what you're saying, but I just don't love God like I ought to. I want to. How can I love Him more? The way you love God more is spend more time in this book, because this book tells you about Him. And if you'll read this book and pray, your love for God will grow. The way to love your husband more is not to go out with another man and not to spend time doing things with other people. It's to put your affection toward Him. The way to love God more is not to gallivant all over creation and enjoying the things of this world. The way to love God more is spend more time with God. I believe one of the biggest failures of modern day Christians is that we have time to do everything else, but we just don't have time to get along with God. Do you love Him tonight? Do you love Him? Do you love Him? If you love Him, you want to spend time with Him. If you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. You boys and girls that think you're in love, and some of you that are in love, don't you want to spend time with that person you love? You say, boy, I love so-and-so, but I can't stand to be around them. I don't know about that. I think if you love somebody, you enjoy spending time with them. And if you love God, you enjoy spending time with the Lord. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. Why is it that we can make time for everything and everybody? You know, a lot of people get mad at me sometimes. They'll say, Brother Danny, I've tried to call you all evening. Where were you? And I said, I was praying. Amen. And they'll say, where was you at? Where was you at? And I said, listen, I have got to have a time every day of my life where I get alone with, if I'd be backslid as a devil if I didn't do that. And I have to preach almost every night. And if I don't get somewhere, I've noticed this preaching. I preach just about every day. I preached every day last week and twice most of the days. And I preached yesterday out the camp and I preached twice today. And I'll preach every day this week up until Saturday. And I preach Saturday and then Sunday. And then I'll have a couple of days off and then be here Wednesday night. And at another church down in Newton that following Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you know what I've got to do? I have got got to take me some time every day, whether that grass gets mowed or not, whether those letters get answered or not, whether that food gets eat or not. I have got to take some time every day to shut my bedroom door or go up in my prayer room up in the woods and just get down. Here's the way I do it. I put a pillow right here, put my Bible right here. I lay on that pillow. I read. I pray. I read. I pray. I read. I pray. And I say, God, I want you to touch me and give me something. And I can tell when I get up that night that the Lord's saying, you spent time with me today. Now I'm going to help you tonight. You can't love God without spending time with God. Boy, I'll tell you, if I let the other things enter in and I let the devil cheat me out of my quiet time with God, I can tell it when I get up to preach. It's dry. It's empty. It's the same way with witnessing or singing or anything else you do for the Lord. You can't not spend time with God and love it. Listen, are you trying to do what He said? Are you trying to keep His word? Somebody said you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. A lot of people give a lot and don't love none. You cannot love without giving. Now, a preacher don't have to preach on tithing every Sunday. If people love God, they'll willingly give God what's His. If people love God, they'll be faithful to the house of the Lord. If people love God, they'll want to read the Bible and want to pray. There's something in your heart that just says, I love Him and I want to do what He wants me to do. That's your first test. Loving God is just keeping His word. But let me give you a second one. Number two, the second test of your love tonight is not loving the world. Turn to 1 John again and look at chapter 2. I tell you, this little old book of 1 John will tire you to shreds when you go to talking about love. It'll tell you some things y'all love and tell you what you ought not to love. If you love some things, you're going to automatically hate some other things. You can't love God's spirit and the devil's spirit. You can't love God and love ungodliness at the same time. You will hate one or the other. Your second test, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. You understand what that means, don't you? That's the world system. It's not talking about flowers and rocks and trees. It's talking about the world. The world. They seen up here a while ago. The world has much to offer. It says just do your own thing. The world's philosophy is what you and I as Christians are not supposed to love. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You say, what all does that include, preacher? Next verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let me tell you tonight, you look up here to me tonight and you listen. That book said that the lust of the flesh, that's not talking about a romantic life between a husband and wife. That's talking about people that are not married, young people growing up that are going out to the flesh and fornication and, you know, listen, beauty contest where they come out and lust after the flesh is not of God. It is of the world. You imagine a Christian wanting to win a beauty contest? I can't imagine that. You say, well, Brother Danny, God blessed me with these long, pretty legs, and I'm going to share them with the world. You're full of the devil is what you are. That's right, brother. I'm telling you, the Bible says that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, you know what that is? I just want more and more and more. Money, things, and popularity. And it said the pride of life. The pride of life. Think about that. You think about that. You know what the pride of life is? Oh, here they are, ladies and gentlemen. And the nominee for best person that went around behind the cameras and held drop cords and put tape on broken drop cords is... You know, they think of a million things to give somebody an award for. Screwed in better light bulbs than anybody else. Watched cars in the parking lot. And wrote two lines of a movie Here he is! And bring him up, and he comes up with a tuxedo. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. And the band starts playing. Everybody said, you know what that is? That's the pride of life. It's just a vain show. It's just a big bunch of show-offs soaking up full of pride. And the Bible said it's not of God, it is of the world. You know what? Here's the way it goes. The world says we must conform man in our image. The devil says I will deform man by sin. Education says we will inform man by knowledge. Society says we will reform man by culture. God says I will transform man by my love. We need to love God and not love this world. I heard about this preacher. Got up and boy, he preached on everything in the book. And he preached on this was a sin, that was a sin, this was a sin, that was a sin. And boy, I mean to tell you, he preached some burning messages on sin. And there was a lady, met him back at the door. She said, preacher, said, can you lay off of us a little bit? She said, why are you always preaching on this and preaching on that? And this is sin, that's sin. Why don't you ever preach on love? And so the next Sunday morning, the preacher got up to preach, and he said, some of our members, I understand, are getting a little upset with me because I don't ever preach on love. And all I've been doing is preaching on sin. And he said, I decided that I'm going to start this morning and bring you a series of messages on love. For my first message this morning, I'll preach on love, not the world. And boy, he cut loose. And buddy, he preached on not loving the world. And then the next Sunday morning, he said, I'm going to preach on loving your neighbor. And boy, he got on all of that, boy. And the next Sunday morning, he said, I'm bringing another love message today. I'm going to preach on loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and stuff. I mean, he got down so hard, that lady met him back at the door and said, that's enough preaching on love, preacher. Go back to preaching on things again. Amen. I tell you what, brother, the test of your love is not loving the world. But then let me give you number three tonight. This one will be all. This will be last, so you better listen real careful. The third test of your love tonight, you've got it, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, and that is loving your brother. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. There is no excuse for Christians not loving each other. I know even in other denominations, sometimes people develop hatred toward each other. Brother, there's other denominations that I believe are people in other churches that are just as saved as we are. We disagree on doctrine, but we better make sure we love them people. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20 said, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Does your Bible say the same thing mine said? Let's read it again. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe it is verse 9, says, as touching brotherly love, ye have no need to write that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God that ye should love one another. The church is held together by love. Just like the mortar holds them block together at this building built. Our love tonight holds our church together. Bible says in Colossians 2:2 that we are knit together in love. Like David and Jonathan, the Bible said their soul were knit together. Listen, the thing that will make the winds of hell blow against our church and not be able to destroy it is the love that we have for each other. Sometimes that's something you got to pray about. There's no way in the world 600 people can sit in a building and always love each other all the time. You're going to get mad at somebody sooner or later. More than likely, it'll be me. Because I'll say something that just rubbed you the wrong way. Or I won't say something that you think I... Let me tell you something, folks. I don't ever deliberately overlook anybody. Not on purpose. I promise you that. Not on purpose. But I have had people say, well, Brother Danny, I did this and I did that, and you never mentioned it, and you mentioned so. And, you know, listen, that's where you've got to just say, listen, we're Christians, we're grown up, we've got to love each other. Amen? I didn't say agree, I said love. If your man don't love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not? See, by the way, Sinners know if you love them. When you're witnessing to them, they can tell it. They can sense it if you love them. I know in this church who really loves me. I know there's people in this church a lot of times that disagree with me on stuff, but they love me. They love me. And our love is what holds us together. And we can work together because we love each other and we believe in each other and we got confidence in each other and we serve God together. You know what the biggest trick the devil play on Christians? They'll find one thing in a church they disagree with and quit and go to another. Then they'll find something in that church they disagree with it and quit going to another. Then they'll find something in that they don't like and quit and go to another. The devil will make a fool out of you. You'll never get nothing accomplished for God if you live your life like that. You just well make up your mind. Listen, we're like Red Rover. You know, we played Red Rover when we was little. Red Rover, send somebody right over. And boy, we'd all hold hands like this. You remember doing that? Well, I don't know if they still do that or not. Boy, when I was about in the third and fourth grade, we played that every day. We grabbed hands like this right here. We held on just as tight as we could hold on. And boy, here'd come old Rover. And boy, I mean, I don't know how far. We'd be about as far from here, that wall over yonder. And buddy, I mean, here he'd come. He'd take off across there. And boy, he'd start running faster and faster and faster. And he'd pick out the skinniest little old measliest little old young'un in the class. That's where he could bust through there, you know. He'd go, bang, bust through there. Then he could take back one of them, you know. And he could take back one and put it on the other side. Whichever one wound up with all the people won the game of Red Rover. And the devil tonight's like old Red Rover. He's a great red dragon. He's over top of here. He's zipping around McDowell County. He's trying to break in. You know where the devil will get in the church? He'll come in right between them two people who don't like each other. The weakest link in the chain, that's where the devil will get in. You ought to just make up your mind that, hey, I'm going to grab her. I'm going to grab. You ain't getting in here, devil. We're holding on. We're going to serve God. We're going to love each other. Grab, get away from here. You're not going to split us up and bust up our love for each other. Yes, sir, brother. They said that a Chinese man was saved. And they told, asked him to tell how he got saved. And he said, you know what made me get saved? He said they had a missionary in there. They called him a foreign devil. And they got a missionary in there. And they stoned him to death. And he said, when I saw them, his legs bleeding, he said, that's what got me. When I saw his legs bleeding, he said, I wouldn't listen to him preach. I wouldn't read his material. But when I saw his legs bleeding, and I know that he's doing that for me, I knew he must have something that's greater than this world has got to offer. I got saved. Love's the greatest thing in this world, you know what? Sure is. I heard about a woman up in Vermont. Her son was on trial. It was a violent mob. They wanted him killed. Witnesses spoke. An old white-haired mom was hurt when they pronounced him guilty. Let out a great shout and a cry. They had to tear her away from her son. And the world hated him, wanted to kill him. And she's screaming, my boy, my boy, my boy. That's what's called a mother's love. The closest thing in this world to God's love is mother's love. The closest thing a lost person can have to the love of God is a love a mother has for their child. Oh, do we love each other? Love that knows no boundaries. Love that spurred the cost. Love that pierced the darkness, searching for the lost. Love that wrought redemption there on Calvary. Praise His name forever. His love included me. Hebrews 13:1 said, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. 1 John 4:7 said, let us love one another. Romans 13:10 said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. If you're working against somebody, you don't love them. If you take every opportunity to say something bad about that person you don't like to make other people think bad of them, you need to come to the altar. You say, well, Brother Danny, what I say is true. Just because something's true don't mean it needs to be said. I can say a lot of things. You want to see people get torn to pieces. If I told everything I know about all you, Lord have mercy. You don't always have to repeat everything you hear. Well, you don't know what they've done. Yeah, and we don't know what you've done either. Ain't you glad God don't spill it out on all of us? Galatians 5:13 said, you have been called unto liberty. You passed the test. You You say, well, preacher, that woman that lives beside me, the hardest thing I have done in my life is try to love her. Now, I know what you're talking about. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can pray. God's going to have to do it. You can't do it. Because you just build up more bitterness and more bitterness and more bitterness, and it gets worse and worse and worse. You say, well, I don't hate them, but it's close as you can possibly get, ain't it? You know what you got to do? You got to come to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, I am not going to hold this hate in my heart no more. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. It's out right now. Get it out. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood. And then when that thing comes, somebody just told me the other day, I don't even remember who it was. Somebody was telling me about having problems with somebody and they got in an argument or something. I said, you're just going to have to pray about it. You're just going to have to pray about it. Pray about it. Only God can give you the love that you've got to have to love everybody. That's what makes a Christian different from a sinner. Sinners love their friends. Sinners love them that do good to them. What makes a Christian good is they love people that do them wrong. That's what makes us different. You pass the love test, number one, you got to love God. The way you love God is keep His Word. Number two, you don't love this world. Number three, you've got to love your brother. That's a pretty hard test to pass. People say, well, just preach on love. You just heard it. That love's rougher than them Ten Commandments, brother. It sure is. That love fulfills the law. If you love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you automatically keep all the commandments of God. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Now tonight, I want your heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that needs to get something out. Get something out of your heart, just like a cancer. Maybe it's a love for the world. Maybe it's a hate for a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe it's that boss man or that person you work with. And you're just going to come to the altar tonight and say, Lord, I'm not going to let this thing hinder my Christian life. I'm going to get down there on that altar tonight and I'm going to get the junk out of me. The resentment, the hate. Because listen, you can't be right with God. You can't be right with God and not love everybody. Now I know it's hard. I know it's hard to me as it is you. But you can do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. You can do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, Lord, help us tonight. Help us not just to claim to be Christians. Help us to take this book serious and be Christians and do what you said and keep your word and love each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.